people of the internet. How's it going? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't get the conversation started with friends, family, people we run into on the streets, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and kind of see where it all takes us. So we got riots and protests, windows and shops being destroyed and broken, so much so that President Trump has decided to nominate Antifa as a terrorist organization. Now, on some level, I feel that's justified. I don't know about you, but I've seen quite the collection of people deciding to destroy things, making their voices heard. But it also comes with a problem with the fact that we are protected by the First Amendment to associate with the people that we choose to associate with. This last week, I listened to a podcast talking about the dangers of labeling individuals as terrorist organizations, going into the details of the militarization of the police department and the bill that's currently in progress through Congress to try and remedy some of these situations. But the host also brought up the fact that Donald Trump wants to label Antifa as a terrorist organization.
Because the war on terrorism is just as deadly and stupid as the war on drugs. They're both wars that can't be won. The war on terrorism, that's a war on a tactic. It's a war on a strategy. It's impossible to win that, especially because what is and what is not terrorism, there's no clear line. Terrorists, terrorism, those are labels, not facts. And so they're busting in doors now for counter drugs. And if they want to keep doing this, they would just have to label us as terrorists. And this is concerning because Trump just named Antifa, which stands for anti-fascists. It's not even an organization. He named Antifa a terrorist organization. Or at least he said he was going to. There might be someone in his administration with a fucking brain that'll go like, oh, by the way, that's not an actual organization. So I don't know if that's actually happened. But where this heads is obvious. Trump wants to be able to label you an anti-fascist, which means you are also labeled a terrorist, which then legally, in these lawless war on terror times, lets him drone kill you.
Now, again, it's kind of justified when we look at Antifa and their tactics and what they're doing. Not they're destroying things. Label them as a terrorist organization. But Antifa is not the KKK. They don't have a mailing address. So they're not an organization. They're just a group of LARPers, live-action role-players that are out there to cause problems and make a ruckus, stand against the fascistic state out there to employ the white patriarchy upon everybody, supposedly. But refusing to look at these people as an organization or as an organized group, again, without a mailing list, I think is very short-sighted. These individuals have been causing problems. I know they're their history goes back 10, 12 years, something like that. And they first gained a lot of prominence in the news media, I recall, back in 2018 or so, down in Portland, where they were blocking off intersections and hitting cars and just really making a ruckus. And the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, got a lot of flack back in the day, because he had a very hands-off approach on these individuals. And again, it comes back to the question I brought up, is that last week already? When you are kind when you should be firm, you will be firm when you should be kind. Then looking at the easily negative impact, easily viewed negative impacts of clever media editing, video editing, you sit there and you have highly protected, highly geared police people out there attempting to quell these individuals, trying to stop them from making a ruckus. And then they post a video of you beating this civilian, this unaffiliated individual out there. And it looks terrible. And then you get lambasted and raked through the coals for being such an evil dictator of an individual, just proving their point that you must be a fascist. But one thing I do feel is that when you're not willing to stop this problem, whether by means of capitulating to their demands, which becomes a problematic situation because then you lose ground and they think they can gain more ground, something that I feel that we are seeing going on in the present day with more and more policies being pushed under emotion as opposed to reason. And at some level, there's reason. I'm not going to fight against that. I feel that some reforms are probably necessary. But we have these violent individuals out there making the ruckus, making the purpose known. And again, when we as a collective haven't listened and disparities have gone to continue, voices get louder and louder until things are broken. But how does this unorganized group gather so much support across the nation? When the riots start breaking out, groups and collections of people all rise up at the same time. Social media does make it a lot easier to more or less coordinate. It doesn't mean that they're all, again, a part of the exact same group. They don't hold the exact same charter of beliefs. Again, they're not an organization. They're a disgruntled group of individuals. Through the war on terror that we've watched unfold over the past 19 years, there's been a lot of media coverage or just posts, videos, information, sharing of ideas and tactics. And if I were to go so far, and maybe I'm drawing too stringent of a line, but you look at something like the group of Hamas, Palestinian individuals who are out there to prove their point, make their presence known, unified under a single ideology, who use the tactics of demolition of both property and human life to get their point across, to defend their ideology, their turf. They've offered insight, influence into how these individuals should act and react. We can look at the family members that choose to bring children to the protests. Now, maybe that's the family members feeling that the children should experience this. Maybe they don't have a babysitter and they feel that, you know, it's best to just go ahead and keep the children with them and experience this. But when things get out of hand and we see the videos online of police brutality, macing children, is that really the parents' fault? Is that the police's fault? Or is it a means, a tactic, to show what police are willing to do to damage the narrative? Do I think the children should be brought to the protest? No, I think they should be left out, left at home. The parents can teach them afterwards. And I don't want to compare protests turning into riots into a war zone, but when things go south, I think you voluntarily sign up for what is to potentially come. I believe that you should stand up for what you believe in, but do not be surprised when things go sideways and you are struck with rubber bullets, sprayed in the face with pepper spray. Prefer not for it not to be that way, but such as it goes. And again, back into Portland of 2018, Darren of the Grimerica Show has a small recollection of a visit with an individual that runs a tattoo parlor talking about the Antifa block that Portland had taken control of down there. Just an abandoned area. Portland let Antifa take over.
He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I've had, in the last fucking year, I've had my shop windows smashed out twice because he's got big American flags and everything. And his truck fucked up once. And they tried to rob and rape the girls that own the nail shop next door. And I mean, I was kind of surprised because this is all shit that I didn't think Antifa was up to. They're not supposed to be up to. But he's like, yeah, all these guys do is drink and cause trouble. So yeah, buddy said it's fucking crazy. He said,
did he say something like you're behind the enemy
lines? Yeah, he's like, you're behind enemy lines down here. He's like, fucking, I wouldn't be down here after 8:30. And this guy's carrying a gun strapped on his belt because he's like, and he said he's had to use it in his parking lot before because they pulled a knife on him.
Again, just this ragtag group of individuals just there to kick off the violence. They don't have to be employed. They can be slighted. Jen Briney of that very first clip talking about Antifa has had two interactions with the police, gotten out of both of them. I've had multiple interactions with the police. I've been on the targeted side of their radar. I've been to court. I've hung out with plenty of individuals who have been slighted by police officers. I can understand that point of view of being disgruntled, feeling like you're targeted, feeling like it's unfairly viewed against you. You feel that there might be no other way to bring this around, to let this be known that you are slighted. Looking at the Seattle Autonomous Zone, whatever they're deciding to call that these days, CHOP, CHAZ, Seattle Autonomous, six blocks, one block, wherever. These individuals have gone outside their designated protest zone. They've attacked a small business, breaking up a whole bunch of cars. Just a car lot. People park their cars there. They take care of them. Attempted to set fire to the building. That became a whole fiasco. That's something there in the show notes for you to look at. Again, way too many. But even the supposed head honcho of the Portland chapter of Antifa made a visit to downtown Seattle.
The only time that we are heard is when we burn shit down. And if white America doesn't want to get right, they're going to see more burning, more looting, because shit needs to be equal. The jails are filled with people that look like me and not that look like you. Your kids are going to college. My kids are going to jail because they're brown and there are suspects walking down their own fucking streets. So I'm from Portland, and I love what's going on here in Seattle, and I stand in solidarity with them. I don't agree with everything.
Now, again, we can talk about the difference in local society, local communities, the degradation of communities leading into that vicious circle of career path choices in a broad sense of the term. But talking about continuation of destruction of property as a means to raise the voice, raise the message, this unorganized, unaffiliated group of individuals are out there to make their message heard, their point heard. Again, they're slighted. They feel that they've been unfairly targeted. Maybe they have. I know I've talked in the past about, do we want to deal with thugs or do we want to deal with the mafia? Do we want to deal with people that are out there toting guns, slinging drugs left and right? When they feel slighted, they'll pull their gun or they'll hit you with a bat? Or do you want to deal with the people that are going to walk around in a suit? And if you're directly involved with them, maybe they put on those cement shoes for you and make you disappear. But again, if we look at the Hamas model, the terrorist model, out there to use the children, to be out there to be the face of it. No one wants a young life to die. But when the young, misguided individuals don't have anything better to do with their time, maybe they are slighted and distraught with the current economic situation because so much has been destroyed through us as a collective voting in poor choices of government individuals. And that goes local all the way up to the president. Don't just focus this all on one individual because we've gone so far as to elect everybody at all levels of government. And I played for you a week or two ago, the city council hating on the police. And that's been a thing for the past couple of years. That lack of support leads to less police, leads to more crime, leads to more slighted individuals, more stressed out police officers doing their best on a very little budget. It all becomes a vicious circle. And also outside of CHOP, CHAZ, Autonomous Zone of Seattle, people out there to protect this protest, to make sure it stays in stance. We're talking about the children out there to prove their point. Make it visible. We talk about an Uber driver going there to pick up their ride, their client.
But I pulled up. I had a request up in the war zone, up at CHAZ or CHOP, whatever they're calling it now. I guess it's CHOP now. And son of a bitch, I pull up. There's two young kids, a guy and a girl. Look like they're 15, but teenagers, street kids. And I pull up and I'm waiting, you know, and my pickup is in the zone, but I'm waiting at the end at the guard post right there, what's the park there? Cal Anderson, an 11th and call it Pine. Pike is inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and they're smoking it. These kids are smoking a joint. You know, they're the guards there at the gate.
Right.
You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. And they finish smoking their joint. They walk up to me and they go, "You wait for something? You need something?" I said, "Yeah, I'm waiting for a Lakeel or something." And sitting there, and son of a bitch, they said, "You can't wait here." And I said, "Yeah, I'm Uber. I'm going to wait for it." I said, "This is America. I can go where I want." They both pulled out fucking guns and stuck them to my head right here.
Huh?
Right there.
What?
Right there. Stuck them in my face, and I'm kind of shitting. It's not the first time I had a gun stuck in my face, but the first time in over 40 years I had a gun stuck in my face. Because I've heard about it, and I watch it on the TV. You know, and I'm all about protests, not about rioting and all this stuff. And they poked the gun in their face, and I just looked at him. I said, "Lakeel's going to be fucking pissed off if you shoot me. Shoot their Uber driver."
Right.
Just like that. And they go, "You got to get out of here, man." And then they start calling me an old white guy. And I said, "Now it's getting personal." I'm going, "Fuck, I'm going to get shot." I said, "You really going to shoot me?" And they said, "Just get them out of here." Just like that. And
so when you pulled,
I got the fuck out of there.
When you pulled up at first, so right when you pulled up on the street, were you just dropping off some random?
No, way to pick them up. Picking them up.
And they pulled. Do you know? Was it pistols or was it? They just
pistol,
pulled.
Yeah.
Big ones like deagles,
like a Glock.
Oh, wow.
I was trying not to look down them too much.
Did they threaten your life or did they just pull the guns out?
They just pulled the gun out and told me to go. So that's any excuse.
So we got 15, 16-year-old kids guarding the outside. These individuals that you can't really go after. Less than a lot of knowledge than that's underneath their belt. Things that they know. Things that they've experienced. There's video footage of the Raz Simone person handing out AR-15s, not even doing a background check on those, just handing those out there to protect the individuals. Now, I don't think Raz is a part of the Antifa movement. But again, if we look at Antifa as someone there to spark the message, get the idea going, at what point does their message become lost or amplified because someone gets pissed off, pulls the trigger on just a rubber bullet, and someone returns fire with an actual live bullet? Then you get the full exchange of fire. And then who's at fault? At what point does the message become obfuscated, diluted, messed up? Again, I have an issue with being able to label U.S. citizens as terrorists. Becomes a very fine line on when it goes too far, when it gets abused. Are you a terrorist just for holding the belief that the police are the good guys? Depends on who's in power. That's the crazy thing about the United States, is the one person in power doesn't always stay in power. And when the rules are on the books, it's kind of hard to get rid of the rules on the books. With the power of the state to accuse an individual of being a terrorist, that opens up all sorts of spying and infringements of civil liberties on that individual, becomes dangerous. And at what point does it end? Who's not a terrorist? I mean, we start looking at all the statues getting torn down. That's another discussion for another day. But who becomes the right person at the end of history? At what point does the line flip? These anti-fascists, the Antifa, who they themselves sit here today professing that they are doing the correct thing, they're doing the right thing, they will be on the right side of history. And as much as we may disagree with them, in 5 years, maybe they are on the right side of history. 10, 15 years, are they on the wrong side of history? It's a very, again, delicate subject, delicate topic. Not something that we should just bash on through, but not something that we should just sit and let fester. Again, we look at what started off in Portland. It's just a bunch of kids with nothing better to do. Now being nationwide without a general mailing address like the KKK. No phone number to call and ask for membership. No paperwork. Don't know who's who. Oh, that person? They might have stopped by the camp once or twice. Not a regular individual. Are all of them out there to cause chaos and destruction? Maybe not. Maybe they're there just for the weekend. Want to experience it? Find out it's not for them. But that does that roll them up into becoming a terrorist? Again, it's all talking points. No real direction. Things that we shall look into. Hopefully it's gotten you a start. If you want to dig in a little bit more, go ahead, check out those show notes at billybones.com, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find past episodes. You find a way to email me, billybones@mail.com, not Gmail. You join the Discord server, you let me know things that I got right, things that I got wrong. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or any of the previous episodes, you go to the website again, scroll all the way down, and click that value for value button. You chip in a dollar or two, take it to PayPal. Or just give this show a share. See if it jogs someone else's mind, gets them thinking. But otherwise, I love you guys. We'll figure this all out, and I'll talk to you next week.